This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بأنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So today, inshallah, we'll be dealing with a new chapter, which is about husn al-khuluq, good manners, the virtue of the good manners. And as usual, an-Nawawi, he quoted from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and then he will follow whatever he quoted with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as somebody who is upon the best and the most excellent khuluq. You know, very great khuluq. Khuluq al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beyond your comprehension. In terms of manners and adab, you will never see somebody like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a father, he was the best, with no doubt. As a husband, he was the best. As a friend, he was the best. You know, as somebody who is opposing others, who looks at him as an enemy, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best. Look at the situation when he got one of them and he put him in the masjid, and that person thought that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to take action against him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave him. He never thought this to happen to him. That Thumama, he accepted Islam immediately. Look at the people of Taif. When they throw a stone on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they caused him to bleed very badly, you know, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at this event to be the worst event that happened to him in his life. After the Battle of Uhud, you would never see a critical moment like that one. Almost going to be killed. But what was the response of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards those who committed crime against him? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Jibreel alayhi salam, I don't want that punishment to happen to them. He said, let them continue to live. I wish if they don't accept, I hope inshallah, if they don't accept me, Allah will bring out of them somebody who will be worshipping him. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at the Meccans. When they, you know, subhanAllah, persecuted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they killed some of his companions. They did so many things, you know, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They took him out of the place. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if not because of the fact that your people take me out of you, he was addressing Makkah. He said, I would never go out of this place. He really loves the place. But he had to leave. They planned, they plot to kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he left the place, leaving almost everything. During Hajjat al-Wada' or the Fath Makkah, they told him, Ya Rasulullah, where are you going to stay? You know, Makkah is his hometown, you know. Even some scholars say when you reach your home, you don't do qasr, although you are musafir, but you don't do qasr because it is considered as your house. Makkah is his own house, hometown. When they ask him, where do you stay? He said, وَهَلْ تَرَكَ لَنَا عَقِيلٌ مِّن مَنْزِلٍ. He says, Aqeel, this is the brother of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, did he leave any house for us? SubhanAllah. Because he was kafir at that time, he took over everything. But subhanAllah, today the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got them, the Meccans. What did he do, you know, to them? You know what happens when the tyrant kings, you know, defeated the people who used to oppress him, and now he got them. what do you think will happen? You will see the peak of arrogance. The Prophet ﷺ get inside Mecca wa ala ra'sihi al-mighfar. He was wearing the helmet to protect himself from the arrows and the weapons of the enemies. And his head was down to the ground, you know, subhanAllah. And he told the Meccans, what do you think I'm going to do with you? They said, we're looking for mercy. He said, just go. He forgot everything, you know. That was Rasulullah. That's why I said, you know, you can talk as much as you wish. This is Rasulullah. He deals with every single person with good manners, you know, so that you can understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. You are upon a very great attitude and manner, which is so valuable, you know, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it makes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam untouchable. You know, because the Quraysh, they know he is the best. Abu Talib says, لَقَدْ عَلِمُ أَنَّ بْنَنَا لَا مُكَذَّبٌ لَدَيْنَا وَلَا يُعْنَى بِقَوْلِ الْأَبَاطِلِ. He was praising, he wasn't a Muslim, but he was praising his nephew. He said, the Quraysh, the Kuffar, they already know that our child, لَا مُكَذَّبٌ لَدَيْنَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not somebody who is tried, you know, to lie in his life. They know this. When it comes to the manners, they know he is the best among them. Nobody can compare himself with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as I said, this is a very long topic. If you touch him as a husband, go and ask his wife, you know. Go and check with the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then you will understand who was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They live with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a very tough life. They can spend 2 months without seeing fire in the house. Somebody told them, so what do you survive with? Aisha said, al-aswadan, al-ma wa-tamr, water and dates, sometimes. If they're blessed, somebody will give them some milk. That was the Eid for them. You know, it's a very tough life, you know. But at the same time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them to choose whether to live a life of dunya, they can get the dunya. The Prophet sallallahu will give them a lot of wealth. Allah will give him, and then he passed it to them. All to choose to stay with him. None of them agreed to stay with others. He started with Aisha because she was the youngest. He was scared maybe she might choose something else. When he told her, he said, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me to tell you guys, that you have your choice, either to live with me or to go and live with somebody else. I can divorce you, you just go and live with somebody else. But he told her, he said, Aisha, before you make a decision, consult your father first. She got mad at him. She said, Ya Rasulullah, to stay with you, you even asking me to go and consult my father? What is this? SubhanAllah. You don't understand what kind of option is this. This is Rasulullah. But if you go through the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with them, you will understand why they do not agree to have a batid. You know? Why they do not agree to have a batid. Very kind and soft and gentle husband. He acted like that, like a husband in the house, you know. Somebody who is so kind. When we come back to our house, sometimes you have to press the horn so that your wife and the family and the kids, they will know that the monster is on the way. Yeah, believe me, this is what some people are doing, you know. When they go, they knock on the door very harshly. And if he happened to go and open the door by himself, also it would be an issue. How come he is here and nobody opens the door? And you see the kids, all of them will calm down, you know. Nobody can do anything because the jinn is already here. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't like that. SubhanAllah, he came back to the house and you know that hadith, you know, he was opening the door very gently so that Aisha will not wake up from her sleep. With some, who cares? He was opening the door, he took off his shoes like that. Every movement he was doing, he was putting in his mind that Aisha is there, she's sleeping, she might get scared, she might wake up from her sleep, he doesn't want to disturb her. SubhanAllah. He lied down a bit and then he stood up. Aisha thought that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to another wife because that was her night. So she followed him. And subhanAllah, she was badly disappointed because she saw him go into the maqbara, graveyard. So he went, he made a long dua for them, and then he came back home. When he turns, still she's not satisfied, right? Until the time he turns back. When he turns back, she ran away. The Prophet ﷺ went to the house and he met her. She couldn't control her breathing. He told her, Aisha, what happened? Aja'aki shaytanuk? Did your shaytan visit you? She said, nothing else. He said, no, you have to tell me, or else she knows Allah SWT is going to inform him. So she told him, yeah, I was thinking of it. So he understood what she was talking about. The Prophet ﷺ hit her. When I say hit her on the shoulder, it's not the hitting of the Prophet, you know. Musa hit one of them, he died instantly. They just pushed the shoulder. He said, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger are going to deceive you? And subhanAllah, that was the end of the case. He said, I just came back home. I just lie down and then Jibreel called me. He said, I just lie down to rest. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like a machine, you know, 24 hours, you know, active. He just came back to rest, Jibreel came. He says, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I went out to him. He says, he did not come inside because you already took off her clothes. Jibreel will never get inside the house after you took off her clothes, your clothes to sleep. That's why he called me from outside and he asked me to go to the graveyard and make dua for them. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the case was closed. Did not blame her, did not beat her, did not say that she's, not trusting him, you know, making it a big issue. I have a lot of events to share with you, wallahi, to tell you how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to live with his family. That's why they love him so much beyond what you can ever imagine. As a child, and as a father, he is the best father. Look at his daughter Zainab when she called him. She said, Ya Rasulullah, she sent somebody to call him when her child was about to die. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy, so he told her, please tell her to be patient. She sent the boy again. She said, go and tell him, I swear by Allah, he has to come. SubhanAllah. If he wasn't lenient, how can she dare to tell him this? You know? She said, go to him and tell him, I swear by Allah, he must come. And then the Prophet ﷺ left immediately, you know. Did not say, this is your business, you know, go and swear by Allah, do kafara now. But he went until the time she was satisfied. He witnessed the death of that child, and then the Prophet ﷺ left. Look at his grandchildren. They mentioned that Fatima, when she came to him, his daughter, the Prophet ﷺ stood up to go and receive her. You know? SubhanAllah. In the very, very highly respected way. The grandchildren of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes they will come and climb with him, on top of him when he is praying. Imagine they do it, one of them, you know. Maybe they would never think of visiting the place where he prays, you know. So they go and climb on him when he is making sujood, and he will refuse to come up from the sujood until they finish whatever they are doing. There was a time he was making khutbah on Friday, and then one of them came. He stopped making the khutbah, he went to him. SubhanAllah. Nowadays when they talk in our masajid, the imam will make a new khutbah on that particular, you know, attitude. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was praying subh one day, and then he heard a baby crying in the masjid. You know, I'm saying this to you because I witness events whereby we do things which are none other than chasing our kids from the masajid. And the Prophet ﷺ, he heard the kid shouting. He recited a very short surah. Either Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar or Idha zulzilat al-ardu zilzalaha. He used to recite in Fajr prayer 60 to 100 verses. That's the last time you will pray Fajr. As an imam, if you do that. So he used to recite 60 to 100 verses in Fajr prayer. By that time, he recited very short surah. And he told them, my intention was to make it long, but then I heard the baby crying. understand that he needs his mother. So I decided to make it short so that I will make his mother free for him. SubhanAllah, you know. He said, I just wanted to make his mother free for him, you know, so that she will focus. Rather than doing things which will chase them away, you know, because masjid is for everyone. Anyway, so what we do, we chase them away, right? Or we put them in the last line, right? And what happens when you have kids in the last line? In the last line, they're all together in one place. What happens? Believe me, there is no way for them to finish that prayer without fighting. One of them, just like that, his shaitan will come to him and tell him, just step on the other one. He will step on him. And then they will start fighting. They will start punching. And then after that, the imam will give another khutbah. You guys, if you know you cannot control your kids, why do you bring them to the masjid? But they brought them. Why do you put them behind and keep them all together in one place? What do you think they will do? But what if when I bring my child, he prays next to me? You bring yours, he prays next to you. Would that happen? No, it would never happen. And actually the scholar said it is unfair and injustice when the child comes and take a place in the first line and we come and chase him away from the first line. This is absolutely injustice. And this is against the training purpose. You know, we want him to come to the masjid. Somebody told him that praying in the first line is a virtue in Islam. And he came early to pray in the first line. And somebody who's older than him came at the last minute. And then, smack him. SubhanAllah. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْضَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those people who are controlling their anger and also they forgive others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those righteous people. One of their attitudes is that they control their anger. It's a very important attitude not to be angry. Somebody came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, Ya Rasulullah, awsini, give me some wasiyah, advise me, give me a very simple advice. He said, La taghdab, don't get angry. One of the major causes of injustice, if not the main cause for the injustice, is anger. So sometimes a person might go out of control, he will be doing things which you don't even know you're doing them. That's why Allah SWT praises those people who are always controlling their anger. So it is brought by the shaitan. That is a hadith which is weak, that describes anger as جَمْرَ يُلْقِهَا الشَّيْطَانُ فِي قَلْبِ أَحَدِكُمْ. That's why sometimes when he gets angry, how do you see his face? Bright or red? So that's why one of the proposals is to make wudu, cool down. And never take action when you're angry. This is very dangerous. Never take action when you're angry. Let yourself cool down first and then take action. Because most likely when you react, when you are angry, you're going to go beyond the limit. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُ خَيْرٌ لِلصَّابِرِينَ. When you punish somebody and you take revenge, you should do the same as he did to you. And that might not be possible if you are to reply when you are angry. So that's why no matter how much somebody treats you in a bad way, don't you ever react when you are angry. Wait first until you cool down. Wallahi, sometimes when you look at him, after you cool down, you smile and you go away. But if you are to take action at the moment he is doing the thing, you will never smile. And later on, you might go to your house and regret. In most instances, you're going to regret. Because when you remember the person that you are dealing with him in that way, you will come back and regret. I wish I did not do it. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told that person, he says, La taghdab. He said, Laysa shadidu bisura. Innama shadidu man yamliku nafsahu 'inda al-ghadab. The strong person in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not that person who can wrestle somebody down to the ground. It's a person who can control his anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. There is no way for the hasana to be equal to the sayyah. bad attitude being equal to the good manners. There is no way for them to be equal. Allah says, "Idfa billati hi ahsan, fa idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawatun ka'annahu waliyyun hamim." So always reply with the best. Who is giving us this advice? Rabbul Alameen, the creator of everyone. He said, you want to succeed in your dealing with others, always reply with the best. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That person who is to take you as an enemy, he'll be acting like one of your in-laws. Very close friends to you. Unless at the end of the day, he will be shy of you whenever he sees you. Allah says, وَلَا يُلَقَّهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. وَمَا يُلَقَّهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Nobody will be upon this excellent attitude of forgiveness and replying with the best except those people who are patient, constantly patient. وَمَا يُلَقَّهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And accept somebody who is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great portion in terms of manners and behaviors. وَلَعَفِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. So when you are controlling your anger, you are going to forgive others. It's a very good attitude, dear brothers and sisters. Very difficult to do, but very good manner. To forgive others is a very good attitude. If you adorn yourself with this, believe me, my dear brothers and sisters, you will relax. You will get a lot of relief. قَالَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. وعن أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحسن الناس خلقا. اتفق عليه. أنس بن مالك, you know, he's one of the best people to tell you about رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, because he lived with رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم for 10 years. He said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is the best amongst the human beings in terms of manners and attitude and behaviors. So that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. وَعَنْهُ أي عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال مَا مَسَسْتُ دِيبَاجًا وَلَا حَرِيرًا أَلِيَّنَ مِنْ كَفِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَلَا شَمَّمْتُ رَائِحَةً وَلَا شَمَّمْتُ رَائِحَةً قَطُّ أَطْيَبَ مِنْ رَائِحَةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَلَقَدْ خَدَمْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ 10 سِنِينَ فَمَا قَالَ لِي قَطُّ أُفٍّ وَلَا قَالَ لِشَيْءٍ فَعَلْتُهُ لِمَ فَعَلْتَهُ وَلَا لِشَيْءٍ لَمْ أَفْعَلْهُ لِمَ فَعَلْتَ كَذَا لَمْ أَفْعَلْهُ لِمَ فَعَلْتَ كَذَا. Anas ibn Malik said, he says, my hand has never touched silk as harir. You know, dibaj is naw'un min al-harir. He says, I have never touched harir in all of its forms. You know, no matter how much soft it is, that is softer than the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah. He's describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam physically, right? His physical appearance. He said, there, I have never touched something in my life that is softer than the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وَلَا شَمَمْتُ رَائِحَةً أَطْيَبُ مِنْ رَائِحَةِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. SubhanAllah, they mentioned that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم تفوح منه رائحة طيبة. يعني معدنه طيب, you know. He himself, the body, you know, is producing this good, you know, fragrance, you know, good smell. And at the same time, he loves perfume so much. You know, نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٌ. It's like perfume, and he put perfume also on himself. That's why they mentioned that كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَشْتَدُّ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ تُشَمَّ مِنْهُ رَائِحَةً خَبِيثًا. You want to see one of the most difficult moments for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is when he perceived that a bad smell comes from him. He really hates to have this, you know, condition with him. So Anas ibn Malik said, لا وما شممت رائحة أطيب من رائحة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I have never smelled a perfume that is more pleasant and nicer than the رائحة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, than the smell of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولقد خدمت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, I have served the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for 10 years. Because when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Medina, his mother was very smart. Who was his mother? Umm Sulaym. And Anas was very young. She took Anas ibn Malik, she went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she said, Ya Rasulullah, this is my son, please accept him as your servant. Not a slave, but somebody who will serve you whenever you need. SubhanAllah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam accepted him. So he was blessed by this, you know, thinking, you know, of his mother and the decision of the mother. He was trained by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He lived with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the house. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made, SubhanAllah, dua for him. None of those dua was rejected. Allah gave him all of those which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked for him. So he said, I served the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for 10 years. Listen to this. قَالَ مَا قَالَ لِي قَطُّ أُفٍ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never told me uff. Uff is the smallest expression that you can produce to show to the one that you're speaking to that he is doing something wrong to you or you are annoyed. You know, the least you can do to express your feeling that somebody is annoying you. Even that one, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never told him uff. What kind of life is this, you know? وَلَا قَالَ لِي شَيْءٍ فَعَلْتَهُ لِمَا فَعَلْتَهُ وَلَا لِي شَيْءٍ لَمْ أَفْعَلْهُ لِمَا لَمْ تَفْعَلْهُ وَلَا قَالَ لِمَا فَعَلْتَهُ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never told me, why didn't you do this? Or why did you do this? There are things which I'm supposed to do and I did not do. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never told me, why did you do this? Or why didn't you do this? SubhanAllah, it has a very nice and excellent result, but unfortunately we are qalili as-sabr, impatient. Because if you're to train your child in this way, you give them good tarbiyah, your child is going to have a strong capacity of making decisions by himself. Nowadays, sometimes some of our children, they have to grow and become parent, and still we have to decide for them. Believe it or not, my dear brothers and sisters, there are children, parents have to decide for them for everything. Until the death of the parent, then they will get stuck. They don't know how to live. Look at the tarbiyah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Teaching people from the childhood to be responsible, you should know what to do. Their parents were like this. They watch. When the child does it, they will not get angry. They smile and tell him, do you think that is right? He will say no. Shake his hand and close the page and open another page. Believe me, it will be very difficult for him to repeat that mistake again. But as I said, Khalili is sabr. He will learn his lesson. He might stay away from it, not out of his own willingness, but because of the fear of the punishment. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't want that. He trained the children at home to be having that absolute freedom in the way we will teach them how to be responsible. So he never told Anas, why didn't you do this or why did you do that? قال وعن الصعب ابن جثامة قال أهديت إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حمارا فرده علي فلما رأى ما في وجهي قال لم نرده عليك إلا أن حرمون. الصعب ابن جثامة رضي الله عنه, he said, I gave the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم the wild donkey, zebra, right? He gave him the wild donkey. He hunted that one and he gave it to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took it back to him. He did not accept. And you know, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't reject gift. But this one he rejected. So he was sad. He was upset, you know. He was annoyed, you know. Of course he has to. This is Rasulullah rejecting your gift, you know. So when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw his face, he told him, no. We want it, but Islamically we cannot take it from you because you did it for us. and we are performing Umrah, we are performing Hajj. He said, we are in the state of Ihram, and a Muhrim cannot hunt, and nobody can hunt on his behalf. If let's say we are performing Umrah, and then Mazin is a hunter, he went and he hunts something, we do not ask him to do. We do not show him the animal. We do not tell him we need it. He just go by himself and just do it, and then he found us. Oh, you guys might need some food, and then he pass it to us. Can we eat it? Yes. That's why in another occasion, when somebody gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam an animal, and they were in the state of Ihram, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him first, did you do it for us? He said, no. Was there anyone among us who told you to go and do it? He said, no. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam take it. You know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ سَيْدُ الْبَحْرِ وَطَعَامُهُ مَتَعَلْ لَكُمْ وَلِلسَّيَّارِ حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ سَيْدُ الْبَرِّ مَا دُمْتُمْ حُرُمًا. As long as you are in a state of ihram, you cannot hunt, and nobody can do it on your behalf. But subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't harsh. He watched over the face of this person to see how was the reaction. When he doesn't see a good reaction, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him the reason why we are rejected. It wasn't because we don't want it, but we cannot take it Islamically because we are in a state of ihram. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you can learn a lot from this, that he really monitors the feelings of others. You Allah, this is really needed, especially when it comes to the life of the husband and the wife. Both of them are supposed to be paying attention to the feeling of the other one. Even a normal friend that you take, you must make sure that you monitor his feeling if you want to live with him a very longer life. قال وعن النواس ابن سمعان قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن البر والإثم فقال البر حسن الخلق والإثم ما حاك في نفسك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس. النواس بن سمعان said, I told Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, I asked him about البر والإثم. What is بر? البر, righteousness, kindness, this is البر. بذل الندى وكف الأذى عن الناس. البر, this is to be generous, to be kind to the people, and also not to harm others. وإزداء المعروف إليه, meaning righteousness and kindness to the people, this is بر. So he asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is بر? He said, البر حسن الخلق. البر is good manners. In all of it, it forms. والإثم ما حاك في نفسك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس. You know, ما حاك في نفسك وكرهت أن يطلع عليه الناس. Whatever itches in your heart, and you don't like people to see. But the scholars said this is restricted to the ذوي العقول السليمة. Those people who have, you know, a good heart. Otherwise, when you go to the losers and you tell them, "Well, if mumahaka fi nafsik wa karihta an yattala alayhi an-nas," the sin is described as anything that you find it very itchy in your chest and you don't want people to see it. Those guys, they don't care if even anyone is watching them, you know. If you tell them this hadith, you'll be so happy. He said, "That means what I'm doing is okay. Because I don't care who is watching, I don't care, you know." That's why the scholars said this is not meant for the fusaq, the dissolute. The Prophet ﷺ is not talking about them. He's talking about the normal people who are within their consciousness. And believe me, my dear brothers and sisters, any one of us who is within his consciousness, when he commits sins, he will never relax. Go and see them, those people who are doing the haram business. They come to a person who they think will give them the right fatwa, and he gives them the right fatwa. They don't want to take his fatwa. They go and use another fatwa. Believe me, tomorrow after a few days, they will come back to him. Why? Because the itchiness doesn't want to stay away from their heart. They will never relax. You see them keep coming, you know, keep coming. Because the thing doesn't want to go, you know. So that, subhanAllah, is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he put in our life. Something to help you to stay away from inappropriate things. And attitude and manners. But as I said, this is only applicable upon those people who are within their consciousness. The bad ones who don't care about whoever is seeing them, you know, when they commit the sins, this hadith is not applicable on them. Because you cannot tell them that if you don't mind people seeing you, then it is okay. He doesn't mind, that's why he's doing it in public, you know. So we tell him that the Prophet ﷺ is talking about those hearts that are within their consciousness. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص قال لم يكن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاحشا ولا متفحشا وكان يقول إن من خياركم أحسنكم أخلاقا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, عبد الله بن عمرو said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has never been فاحش ولا متفحش. You know, fahish is somebody who is saying bad words upon a bad attitude. You know. The same goes to the mutafahish, a person who is, you know, doesn't mind to use this idle talk, you know, statements which are bad. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will never hear from his mouth badah, words that are inappropriate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected him from that. وَكَانَ يَقُولُ إِنَّ مِنْ خِيَارِكُمْ أَحْسَنَكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا. He used to say that the best amongst you, they are the best in terms of manners and attitude. The best amongst you, they are the best in terms of manners and attitude. وَعَنَا بِالدَّرْدَىٰ أَنَّ النَّبِيَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ قَالَ مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ أَثْقَلُ فِي الْمِيزَانِ فِي مِيزَانِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْخُلُقِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبْغِضُ الْفَاحِشَ الْبَذِيءَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there is nothing that is heavier on the scale of a believer than the husn al-khuluq. If you're looking for something that is going to make your scale, you know, heavy, it's husn al-khuluq. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned in this hadith and some other hadith. The hadith of Abu Dharr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتْ وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تطرحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. وإن الله يبغض الفاحش البذيء. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like that person who is a sinner and who doesn't care about the words that is coming out of his mouth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like that person, especially البذيء الذي يتكلم بالفحش. The one who always, whenever he talks, he speaks in the bad way. The thing that controls this properly is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, falyaqul khayran aw yasmut." Whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter, let him say good or keep quiet. In the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked about the najah, success in this life and the hereafter, he says, "Control your tongue." He said, "Whoever controls his tongue succeed." وَبَكَى عَلَىٰ خَطِئَتِهِ وَوَسِعَهُ بَيْتُهُ. Three things are mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ as a means to success in this life. To control your tongue, that means whenever you speak, you say good or you keep quiet. And the second thing is to let your house suffice you. You know, this one has two meanings. The first meaning is minding your business. And when we say minding a business, we don't mean that you don't give da'wah, you know. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, alaykum anfusakum, it's mind your business, right? Focus on yourself, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't give da'wah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bin husna islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. It is part of the perfection of the religion of a person to stay away from that which does not concern him. But people don't understand this, you know. We use it in the wrong way. It means as long as you are giving da'wah, you are righteous and you give da'wah to others, but they refuse to accept you, then the harm that is coming from you, from them will never harm you. The evil attitude and the manners that they're doing in the community, as long as you're giving da'wah to them, but they don't want to take, it will never harm you at all. That was the understanding of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not in the way you hear some of us are saying that, no, this is not my business. No, wallahi, it is your business, you know. Because if you are in the place where people are committing sin and you don't give them the da'wah, you keep quiet, that which happened to the Jew might happen to you, you know. It's very dangerous to stay in a place where people are committing sin and they need you to remind them, but you don't do. When the punishment comes, it includes who? You also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا بِعَذَابٍ بَئِيسٍ. Those Jews, you know, Allah says, we only saved those people who are reminding others to practice righteousness. And we punish the criminals. How about those ones who are not giving the da'wah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was silent about them. But the scholar said, most likely they were also included in the punishment. Allah grant us good and tawfiq. InshaAllah, in the next class, I will address this hadith once again. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah.